Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. You are a good, good Father. You are our Father. As we put our faith and trust in what Christ has done, we are drawn into your family, and you become our Father. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the day that we have today to gather together to celebrate dads, knowing that you are the one who equips and provides for dads to father after your example. We thank you for that. We thank you for the time that we have this morning to study from your word. Might the spirit in us and the power of your word change us, make us more like your son Christ. Might we understand more of who you are, and what you've done for us, and who we are. We thank you for this privilege that we have to worship in this way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so we're part of our biblical parenting series. Father's Day falls in that, so it kind of is part of that. Are other folks cold? No one's cold? Okay. So, we can adjust that if you do get cold. But again, Father's Day falls in the middle of our biblical parenting series, and our biblical parenting series has started, been 4 weeks ago. There's been three messages. If you've missed any of those messages, I encourage you to go to our website, and you can, all of them are recorded on there, and you can listen to them to catch up, because a lot of these first biblical parenting series messages lay the foundation for the practical application of those methods that will come out as we go through the parenting infants and children and teenagers and adults, and then the grandparenting and all of that and the biblical methods. So I encourage you to go to the website to listen to those if you've missed any. Today's message is directed at dads, those of you who are dads who are here today, but it is very applicable to all of us. It is very applicable to all of us. And the connection that we have to the biblical parenting series is that Father's Day should remind us that God-fearing parents are concerned that their children walk with the Lord. And we see that, and there's evidence of that, as John, the Apostle John, wrote to people in 3 John. He wrote, and he said, "I have no greater joy." This is 3 John verse 4, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." And as parents, we all have that desire for our children to walk in the truth. And to it is a joy to hear that when they are as well. So today, I guess the title of the message, I was going to title it two different ways. I was going to call it "A Dad in a Bag." And that bag being the bag that I gave you as dads that were here, or that we gave you as a church body. But I thought that would, I changed it. So we're going to be describing a godly dad. And we're going to be using the items that are in that bag. And I have my bag all strolled out under here, so I'll pull them out so that you will know what is in there. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I find it very helpful to have a physical reminder of a spiritual truth for me often to connect with, so that when I see that, I know that's a reminder to me of what God's done for me, or a reminder to me of how faithful God is, or God's promises and what he's done for me and how he's changed me and molded me and make me more like Christ. So that is some of the items that are in there. Hopefully that you'll make those connections. So that's what you'll find in the bag that the children handed out, as physical reminders of the description of a godly dad. These are my physical reminders, so they may not fit you, but I hope that they will, and I hope that you'll find some encouragement from that. So we're going to work through describing a godly dad with the items in those bags as well. And we're going to be going all over in Scripture just for verses that connect with us and connect with these items and these truths as well. And so we're going to start out in Psalm. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to take it out. And I'll try to go slow enough to where you can follow along as well. So the first item in the bag that I want to look at is a rock. Who would have thought you would have got a rock for Father's Day, right? But this rock is a reminder of a godly dad's foundation. So it describes a godly dad's foundation. Godly dads build their lives on a rock. God is our rock. We need for our foundation. If we build our lives on God and His Word, our foundation is solid. It is firm. It is unchanging. It is strong. That's the foundation of a godly dad. And we see that multiple places in Scripture. The first Scripture we want to look at is Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, there's two verses that I want to read that remind us of God being our rock and the foundation for a godly dad. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Those are great. That's a great description of God being our rock, and the godly dad's describing that in his foundation. And then we move over to verse 46. It says, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation." So again, God being the rock, the foundation to build our lives, describing a godly dad's foundation. We move over to Psalm 62. And in Psalm 62, verse 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken." We need a firm foundation. Godly dads need a firm foundation, because if we look around us in our world, we see a pretty shaky place, right? But we can have a firm, unshakable foundation and when we build it on God and His truths as well. Then I want to go over to Isaiah, just a few pages to your right. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. "Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, an everlasting rock. So we have this stronghold, this rock, this foundation that we build our lives on, and it is God, and it's an everlasting, eternal rock that is unchanging and unshakable. And a godly dad builds his life on that rock. That's a description. That's why there's a rock in your bag there. Now I want to go over to the New Testament, first book in the New Testament, in Matthew. Christ is telling, teaching folks, and he's teaching parables and stories and different things and connecting them to truths of Scripture. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, this talks about the two foundations, and there's two foundations, and all I want to read about is the solid foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." So a godly dad that builds his life and foundation on the rock is unshakable, unchangeable. And it's not because of him. It's because of God that he's building hit that foundation on, that rock. That is the reason there. And we see we are not going to be blown around by different things in the storms as well. God and His Word is the foundation of a godly dad's life. That's why there is a rock in your bag. Next item I want to look at is a tape measure. And tape measure, different professions use tape measures for different reasons, and they come in very handy. This one's very handy because it has all of the eighths, quarters, three-eighths, half-inch. So if you don't know those, you have them. I'm just kidding. But the reason I want to use the tape measure is that a godly dad knows he measures up. And he knows he measures up because he knows he's in Christ. That's why he measures up. In Christ means we have accepted His sacrifice as a payment for our sins, for our own sins. And we know that there's no amount of cleaning up our lives or straightening out the things in our lives can make us clean enough for God to forgive us. It's in Christ. We can never have a relationship with a holy God apart from Christ. It is in Christ. When we accept Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, the accounts get switched. We are seen as righteous as Christ because of Him, not because of us. God sees us as righteous. He exchanges our lists of sins and things we've done for His righteousness, His perfect righteousness. That's totally pleasing to God. That gets added to our account. That's when we are in Christ. A couple scriptures that I want to look at here, starting in Galatians. Galatians is in the Old Testament. Galatians, Ephesians. It's one of the first letters in the order Paul wrote after 2 Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 16, we read, "Nevertheless," this is talking about Jews and Gentiles and all of that, but it's specifically to people because we see that it's how we are justified by Christ, not by the law. In verse 16, it says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified." We're only justified in Christ. In Christ. And then that same chapter in verse 20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." A godly dad understands that he measures up in Christ and not in himself. He knows that he's justified to God by Christ. He knows that he's been crucified with Christ, and the life he lives to God in Christ. In Christ means that God no longer sees our sins, our imperfections, our falling shorts. He sees the righteousness of His own Son on our behalf, on our account. That is huge for us godly dads to be reminded of. In Christ, our sin debt is canceled, our relationship with God is restored, and we are eternally secure forever. And we know that. We know that Paul wrote multiple verses about that, but there's another verse I want you to read and see in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore," talking about all the reasons, "therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation. Every dad in Christ is accepted by God. Because of Christ, we measure up. As a dad, personally, I've had to be reminded of that and remind myself of that daily in times where I've interacted with my children, or when I try to do things in my own strength, or I beat myself up because of my responses. I have to be reminded that God sees me as righteous as His Son because of what His Son did on my behalf, not because of me. So the tape measure reminds us of being in Christ. In Christ, we all measure up. All right. The next item is a golf ball. I don't know how many of you have ever played golf. I experienced golf. I didn't say played. I experienced golf. But my first experience was with golf. I worked, the boss that I worked for, he would yearly have a golf outing. So I borrow some clubs from my younger brother. We go golfing. And I had, in the clubhouse there, I said, okay, I need one ball. So I took a golf ball, because I didn't have any, so I bought a golf ball. And I went out to the tee number one. We were only going to play 9 holes, right? I had to go back to the clubhouse and get more golf balls. Multiple times. I hit that thing, and Jeff and I were talking about it, and Jeff says, it seems like the harder you hit it, the worse it does. It just goes off this way or that way or this way or that way. And I got to the second hole, and I became the designated guy who drives the cart. I quit golf. The golf ball is a reminder to us to be humble. To be humble. No matter how hard I tried, I was not going to be a golfer. I read a book by C.J. Mahaney called Humility, and in it he says, you need to go golfing a lot to stay humble. It reminds you to stay humble. Again, I don't know how many of you golfers are golfers, but it will humble you. It probably why I didn't pick the golf clubs back up again is because of my pride. if I want to stay humble, I just think about that experience. God's word talks about being humble. And James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives grace, speaking of God, but he gives grace, greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We need to be humble. The description of a godly dad is that he's humble. Paul wrote in Philippians about being humble to the Philippian believers there. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. That's humility, looking out for others. And then he continues on there, and we see the example that he's given us, the example God gave us in Christ. Because in verse 5 through 8, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So God wants us to be humble, and he gives us an example, and he gives us the ability to be humble because we are in Christ, and leaves us that example. And godly dads are humble. They are humble. They have the foundation on God. They are in Christ. And their desire is to be a humble example to their children as well. So that's what the golf ball is a reminder of. The next item we want to take out of the bag there is a little blue thing. It's a pencil sharpener. A carpenter's pencil sharpener. You stick the carpenter pencil in there and you twist it around and you sharpen it up. A dull pencil is useless. You can't do much with a dull pencil. It needs to be sharpened. A spiritually dull person could be considered useless because they aren't keeping themselves sharp spiritually. They are persuaded by all of the things in the world and the empty things of the world. And we know that from Colossians. Paul warns the Colossian believers in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. He tells them, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So in order to stay spiritually sharp, we need to continually sharpen ourselves. And the best way to continually sharpen ourselves is with God's word, the truth, and founded on Christ. According to Christ, we see it right there. God's word is living and active. And when we use it in our lives and the lives of others, it grows us and them spiritually. And it sharpens us and them. And we know that from multiple scriptures, starting in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 27, some of you probably have this verse memorized, Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So as we interact with each other, we sharpen one another. Again, it's not when we interact with one another about worldly things. It's about when we interact with each other about the truth. It's been a great blessing for me since moving back here to be involved in the church body and on the level of a Bible guy. Because when we meet as Bible guys on Mondays and we interact with the Word of God and I interact with Darren and Jeff and we interact that way, I am sharpened. They are like a stone sharpening me spiritually. And when we interact with each other, we sharpen one another. And we do that as we sharpen one another in the body of Christ, so that we are useful. And we know that God's word is the one, is what we need to use. We know that from Hebrews and from 1 Timothy. And those two verses I want to read. In Hebrews chapter 4 is where we find out, read about what God's word is like. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We interact with God's word and interact with each other. We know that it's living and active and it is useful because we just went through 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, and our theme for 2 Timothy were these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. "All scriptures is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." God's word is what sharpens us as we interact with one another. And godly dads are consistently sharpening themselves by using the living and acting word of God in their own lives and in the lives of others. When they interact with their children, when they interact with those that are here in the body of Christ, when they interact with those that they're discipling in Awana or VBS, children that they see in the community, using the Word of God, because nothing is sharpens us spiritually like the Word of God does. So a godly dad is sharpening himself. A godly dad is also a mark maker. So there's a carpenter's pencil in there. You can see that it's very dull. It is useless right now. That's why you got the sharpener too. So, a godly dad is a mark maker. What I say, Psalms 112 is a great verse to remind us of that. Psalm 112 and verse 6. "For he will never be shaken." Again, talking about a man who's founded on God. And then it goes on, "The righteous will be remembered forever." You will make your mark. You will be remembered. In Ephesians, Paul talks about those work, our us being God's workmanship, created to do good works that He prepared in advance for us to do. So these marks that we're making, being the mark maker, has been prepared for us by God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." These things that we make our mark, God has prepared for us. He's prepared us for them. They've been prepared in advance for us to walk in them. Everywhere we go, we leave our marks. God designed us that way. Go like this, and then look at your fingers. Everything you touch, you leave a mark. Your individual fingerprint. God designed us to leave our mark. They don't just exist, though, in the physical world. They call it a digital footprint. What I mean by digital footprint is when you interact on Google or on social media and the things that we put out there, that is our footprint. That is our mark that we're making online and all of our activity. Everything you do on the internet and on the social media leaves a mark. If you don't believe me, look at the ads that pop up on your email. People are watching you. You're leaving a mark out there. Everything we do, we leave a mark, especially on those things, so to speak. others see your footprint on social media, your digital footprint. If you change jobs nowadays, the first thing that an employer will look at before they hire you is your digital footprint and see what kind of mark you're leaving on the internet as well. So everywhere you go and in everything we do, we are leaving a mark. There's evidence of our life that we live, that you live. So make no mistake about it, you were created to leave a mark. Each one of us were. The question then becomes, what kind of mark are you making? God saved us and designed us to leave his mark on life, on others, in our lives as well. So are we making a mark that honors God and the marks that we're leaving? Because we are all mark makers. People are watching us. Right. And I don't know how many of you have ever watched the amazing show. I don't even think it's on. I don't have TV, so I don't even know if it's on TV anymore. I don't even know if it's on Netflix anymore. But it is the greatest show ever. It was called Popeye. You guys remember Popeye, right? That's what these are for. Not for your strength, like Popeye, but these are seeds of spinach seeds, right? These are spinach seeds. And I thought, there is no more of a manly plant than spinach, right? So Dad's got to get some spinach seeds. But what this represents is that you are a sower. You are a sower of seeds. And those seeds are the truth of God's word. Sowing the truth in people's lives. Again, multiple scriptures talk about this. A few that I want to bring out. Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18, it says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward." When we sow righteousness. Paul had a lot to tell the Galatian believers there about sowing. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 9, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." We reap what we sow in our lives and in the lives of others as well. We also see from the parable that Christ taught in Mark chapter 4 what the sower was actually sowing. Christ explains his parable after he teaches about the parable of the sower and the soils, where the seeds were cast onto the thistles and the rocky soil and the good soil. And he goes on to explain in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, he goes to explain the parable. And the first thing he says about the sower, we're going to start in verse 13, but verse 14 is the one where he explains that. He says, "And he said to them," speaking to the people, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" And he says, "The sower sows the word." So the sower, godly dads describing as a sower, we sow the word of God. We sow the truth. We sow it in people's lives, and it changes their lives. And we are the sowers, the waterers, but we are not the ones who cause the growth. We cannot make people grow in the truth. An understanding of the truth. And we know that from Paul's interaction with the Corinthian believers when he's talking about describing himself and Apollos and which one had which. And in Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, speaking, this is Paul, it says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God causes the growth." So we plant, we're sowing seeds, sowing those seeds of truth. So a truth of God's word is sown into our own lives and also into the lives of others. and this truth will last for eternity. It is eternal. So godly dad is a sower. Then the last item in there, again, this is not an exclusive list of things that describe a dad, but it is duct tape. Duct tape. All dads love duct tape. My son loves duct tape. You know, duct tape has grown in its popularity to an immense position. I don't know how many of you know that you can win scholarships by creating a duct tape outfit, like a prom outfit. Like people actually build their prom outfit and tuxedos or dresses, and if they do the greatest job ever, they get a $12,000 scholarship from duct tape to go to school. So if you're interested, just Google it. You will find it. So, but remember, you're leaving a digital footprint, okay? So, but yeah, duct tape has grown. But that duct tape represents that godly dads are sticky. They're sticky. And what I mean by that, I don't mean like maple syrup sticky. I mean he sticks to Christ because Christ sticks to him and holds him together. He sticks to the Word. And he sticks to it and the things that he does. We see that in multiple places in Scripture that talks about this. But that thought of he sticks to Christ because Christ is holding and sticking him together, we see in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, what a great reminder of Christ and how he is holding things together. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, he says, he is before, speaking of Christ, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ holds all things together. And that's why godly dads are described as sticky, because they are holding on to Christ. And we see that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul explains to the Corinthian believers about the resurrection. And he goes on. And at the end of chapter 15, Paul puts a verse in there, and it's a therefore verse. So that therefore, we always ask, what's the therefore? Therefore, and we have to point back to what is then. Because of all of this truth of the resurrection, Paul says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Godly dad sticks to it, continues to serve, knowing that because of the promises of the resurrection and the promises of God, he is not laboring in vain. He sticks to it because of what Christ has accomplished for him. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, first three verses in Hebrews chapter 12, this is the chapter that follows the hall of faith, chapter 11. We see again, godly dads stick to Christ. They hold on to Christ. I want to read the first three verses. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Godly dads stick to Christ, and their focus is on Christ, and they don't lose heart because of that, because of what Christ does in their lives. So I know a very unconventional Father's Day, but I hope these items remind you of spiritual truths. Spiritual truths about you, about God you build your life on. Godly dads that are here today, I personally appreciate each one of you. I appreciate you. You are appreciated in immense ways, not only by your biological family, but by your spiritual family that you fellowship and worship with here. You are rare in our world today, in our culture today. You are rare. So I invite you to stand with me, and we will pray, and then we will sing a song in closing. So stand with me as we pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the privilege to be able to worship with men who are concerned about the things you're concerned about. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each dad that is here today. I pray that you would give them compassion, patience. Father, we thank you for the spirit that we have that strengthens us to do that. Lord, I just lift them up to you. In our culture today, they are a rarity. We want to make sure that we encourage them and lift them up, and that they know that they measure up because of Christ. And they have the ability to live lives that honor you because of the spirit you've given them. Lord, I personally thank you for each one of them and their commitment to you and their commitment to their family. We pray that you would strengthen that and grow that, and that we would all be humbled as we compare ourselves with Christ, and as we interact with each other, we would be sharpened, because our interaction isn't just the weather or what happened this week. Our interaction with each other is the Word. Our interaction with each other is on a spiritual level that opens our hearts up to each other and opens our lives up to each other, but ties our hearts together and makes us more like Christ. Father, we thank you for this special day that we have to celebrate godly dads. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stan, we are going to sing a song in closing. Amen. Great reminder. God has blessed us in amazing ways. There was one other item that I thought about putting in there, and Jeff had used the item before, and it was a potato. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, is you need to be an imitator, a tater, right? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul says, and that's what a godly dad does. He imitates Christ to others. He knows that he's an example, and he's being imitated, and he relies on the Spirit to walk in a manner worthy as he's been called. So enjoy your day celebrating our godly dads. We are dismissed.